Amen. All right. Take your Bible, if you would, to the book of Galatians, chapter 6 this morning. And Brother Brown said I had 30 seconds to start sweating. Amen. And so I don't know about that. I really don't know if this is a Jubilee message for this week. But just last week, God really began to work on my heart about this passage of Scripture. And I just really feel like it's what the Lord would have me to preach. And I remember one of the first times I met old Brother Paul, and it was at a camp meeting, and Brother Simpson's, Brother Ronnie Simpson, probably the early 2000s. And when he got up, he introduced himself like this. He said, "My name is Paul, and I'm from Pine Hall, and I'm having a ball." Amen? And he's still having a ball. Amen? And I know I get a little excited sometimes, but I hope when I'm 78, I can still be excited like that. Amen? And every time I see Brother Paul, he enjoys life, and that's the way it's supposed to be. Thank God we ought to be happy. Hallelujah. We've got so much to be happy about, and thank God we ought to show it. Amen. As I said last night, Baptists seem to be the saddest people that I know. So Galatians chapter 6, we're going to read the first five verses. The Bible said, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then he shall have rejoicing in himself alone, and not another. For every man shall bear his own burden." That's my thought this morning. Bear your own burden. But it'll take me just a few moments to get there. So bear with me, if you will. Now, we find here in verse 1 that he talks about a fault. Let's describe that. That simply means an error, a willful transgression, a sin, or a trespass. And he gives us three things here. Number one, he said there's to be an action. We are to restore that individual who has fallen. Now, that word means to repair. It means to help them. It means to fix that which is broken. It means to mend the relationship. You know, it's one thing when a man sins, and I'll just go ahead and throw this in here. When a man commits adultery, he's through preaching far as I'm concerned. Amen. And it got real quiet right there, but I'm telling you, listen now, and a lot of them, they won't accept what they did as wrong, and they just act like it's all right. But when a man falls, and he's willing to repent, then we are to restore them. Amen. And then not only there's an action, but there's an attitude. He said, in the spirit of meekness. We are, because, he said thirdly, that we're to assess the situation, because, Brother Brown, we're to consider ourselves. Because we could be the next one. You could be the next one. You are never too tall to fall. Don't you ever think that it cannot be you. It can be you, and it can be me. And so we see that he deals with that. Now, I won't be long. The preacher said I got to preach more than 15 minutes, and so I'll try to. But anyway, we find in verse 2, first of all, he talks about the load. He talks about the burden. And in the context of verse 2, he's talking about that brother who has fallen. It's become a burden to him. I'll be honest with you, I have failed in this area in my life. Brother Danny, there's people I know who had fallen, and they got right, and I never reached out to them. Shame on me. Shame on me. When the Lord dealt with me about this, Brother Jeff, I said to myself, Lord, forgive me. There are people that I know that I could be where they are today, and I could be the one, and I wish somebody would reach out to me. God, help us, amen, to have a burden for those who have fallen. He said we're to bear that burden. That means to lift a load. That means to sustain them. That means to endure. That means to carry them. That means not to shun them. Amen. It means to sympathize with them in real sorrow. It means to spend time in supplication and pray for them. You know why? Because it may be you the next time. I pastored in Texas for about a year, and I think I pestered them more than I pastored them. Say amen right there. I was about 24 years old and didn't know nothing and still don't know a whole lot. But anyway, I got a phone call after being there about 6 months, and it was about the previous pastor, how Brother Wesley, that he had ran off with a lady in the church, and how he left his wife and destroyed his home. And can I tell you, there wasn't a feeling in my heart like, I told you that was going to happen. No, you know what was in my heart? It scared me to death. I literally ran into the closet in my house and got down on my knees and begged God to help me and never to do that, because I know that I'm capable of that. I didn't say, Lord, shame on that man. I said, Lord, help that man and help me never to do that. God, help us. Amen. To sympathize and pray for those who have fallen. Amen. But now, in praying and helping, we don't condone what they do. Say amen right there. We find that we're to secure them. That means to forgive. Boy, Brother John was talking about forgiveness. Forgiveness. I'll be honest with you. I've met a lot of people that they say, I forgive you, but they don't. Because they never hardly speak to you again. They're not friendly to you. Because maybe something happened between you. And you know what? Goodness alive, if Christ can save us and forgive us over and over and over, how much more can we forgive others? Amen. I'll be honest with you. I think some of the reason that our churches are so dead in our revivals is there's so many people afield in the congregation that are not willing to forgive one another. I mean, boy, they've got a grudge. It might be from 5 years ago, and they've not gotten right with God about it. Can I say, get over it, friend. Put it behind you. Thank God, let it go. Everybody sometimes gets hurt. You've got to move on. You've got to march on. You got to forgive them. You got to go on. I'm telling you, it'll help the church if we'll be willing to forgive. Amen. Amen. Some people, he done me too much wrong. How much wrong have we done Christ? And yet he still forgives us over. You know what? Being saved, you got me by a year. I've been saved for 54 years. Boy, I tell you, I've done him wrong a lot. What if he treated us like we treat others? What if he treated us how that we forgive others? If someone honestly says, man, I've done wrong, would you forgive me? I'd do my dead level best to say absolutely and act like it never happened. Isn't that what the Lord does for you and I? Amen. God help us, we see the load. Then we find also in verse 2, he's talking about love here. He said that we're to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. We see a precept here. What is the law of Christ. John chapter 13 and verse 34, he said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. You know what? We're to love one another. I'm telling you, the more I go, the more I see that there's a clan over here and a clan over there and a clan over there. And if you're not just like them, they don't want anything to do with you. Can I tell you, there's nobody in this building today that agrees on everything like everybody else. But I'm telling you, we ought to love one another. Amen. Amen. We're commanded to love. It's a precept. It's a law of Christ. He said we're to love one another. You know what happened when I got saved? I fell in love with the brethren. I fell in love with the church. Hallelujah. We weep with them that weep, and we rejoice with them that rejoice. Brother John talked about getting close to the church because, Brother Chris, we love the brethren. Not only is it a precept, but it's a precedent. Here's what he said, that you also love one another, he said, as I have loved you. Hallelujah for the love of Christ. We cannot compare to that kind of love, but I'm grateful. Thank God that he loves me. You know how much he loves you and me. He loves us in spite of ourselves. When we're so sorry, I'm telling you, we're not worth a nickel. He still loves us. I'm glad his love hadn't changed. Thank God in 54 years, I'm telling you, he ought not love me like he did, but thank God he loves me just as much as he did as an 8-year-old boy bound for hell. Thank God came by my way. He still loves me that much. Hallelujah. Amen. We see the precedent. We see the love. Then he talks about verse 3 of being lofty. Now here's the problem. It's in the mind. For he said, that thinketh in himself that he's something. You know what that is? That's self-pride. You know what self-pride is? You think you're better than the one who failed. You think you're stronger than they are. That you can't do that. I've heard people say, man, can you believe what they did? I would never do that. Don't ever say what you won't do. Me and my wife never were able to have children. But I don't know how many times down through the years I've heard people say, my children, I'll never let them do that. Or they'll never do that, and they did that. You know why, Brother Danny? Because they have a mind of their own. Don't ever say what you're not going to do. I was in a church and a situation had happened and an individual had gotten into sin and committed adultery and they got right with the church and asked God to forgive them and they was moving on. But there's a family in the church and they kept on and talking about them and running the name down all throughout the congregation and wouldn't get past and wouldn't get over it. You listen to me? And you know what happened? That individual, her husband, he got out of church and became a drunk again, and he's not been in church for over 20 years now. You better be careful. You better be careful when you think that you're too big to fall, because you might just be the next one. Amen. We see self-pride, but then we see the self-proof. He said he's nothing. You know what that simply means? We're a zero. We're a zero. You know what's wrong with the Independent Baptist movement today? We think too much of ourselves. We really do. I saw a fella several years ago. He had made a movie of his preaching. And he would stop and go, he's looking at the camera, so they'd get a good shot. Then he's preaching over here and he'd go, so they get a good shot. I thought, what kind of nonsense is that? God isn't a million miles of that. He's not going to show up in that because you're concerned about you and not him. You're nothing. I'm nothing. Get it in your head. You're nothing. I'm nothing. Amen. Amen. Blow it out. It's the mind. You think that you're something, but you are nothing. I've been to certain meetings, and because you didn't run with them, they don't even shake your hand. Because you're nothing. Because they think they're something, that you are beneath them. Can I tell you, I'm beneath everybody, but so are you. There's nobody in here worth anything. The only reason why you're saved is the good grace of God. It wasn't that He saved you because you were somebody. He saved you because you was a lost sinner and you needed Him. Amen. I say hallelujah. I'm glad, thank God, He saw me for who I was, lost without God. Amen. Amen. Nothing. Not only the mind, but you become misleading. You're deceiving your own self. The danger, when you elevate yourself, is you're going to fall. And then you're going to acquire the reputation that you didn't want, not the one you were seeking for. Isn't that amazing? Because we're seeking a reputation. I'll be honest, young in evangelism, man, I was trying to get a reputation going, not to be the meanest and all that nonsense, the most controversial. I wasn't trying to be that. But I just wanted, one day the Lord said, Brother Brady said, hey, how about let me take care of putting you where I want you, and you quit trying to push open doors yourself. I did. Can I be honest? I did. I, 32 years ago when I first started, I was trying to make some things happen. You see, it ain't about reputation. You know what? I in a meeting many years ago, there's a fella, he made this statement. A certain man was preaching that everybody liked. And he said, I want to be like that man right there. Well, I understand that in a way. But I'll be honest with you, I don't want to be like any man. I want to be like Jesus. Amen? And that man ended up getting out of the ministry and losing his marriage because he's more interested in a reputation. I'm more interested in him. Amen? Amen. Number four, he deals with the labor, verse 4 and 5. And I'm getting close to where I want to finish up. He said, number one, we are to examine, verse 4, that word prove means to examine our work. That means our toil. Can I say that means that you are to look at yourself and not everybody else? See if your work is lacking. See if you are loyal in your work. See if you're lazy in your work. I know some lazy people. Oh, it got real quiet right there. In the work of God, we're not to be lazy. We sit around when we can be doing things. We're not to be lazy. I do my dead level best. If I don't have to leave until the afternoon on Saturday, guess where I go? Visitation with the Bible Baptist Church. Brother Andrew came up to me back in, I think, around December, and he said, I really appreciate the fact that you do what you say you're going to do. I got to go maybe 4 times last year because I didn't have to leave. Most time, like Saturday, this coming Saturday, I'll have to leave at 8 o'clock Saturday morning. But you know what? I want not to be lazy. Time's running out. He said, work while it's day. The night is coming. This thing's about over. And all that's going to matter is what we've done for Jesus. Amen. Amen. I am sweating, Brother Brown. Hallelujah. We find that we're to examine not only our toil, but our task. That means our deeds. It means instead of criticizing someone else's work, how about looking at your own? What you do. Well, I tell you, I wouldn't preach like that fella. That fella just, I don't know, he's just too hard. And I wouldn't run my church like, well, don't worry about it. You don't have to. When young evangelists come to me, I have been on the road 32 years, and they say, what advice do you have for me? I say, well, first of all, you need to get in the prayer closet and pray. But secondly, when you're preaching for a man, don't ever say, well, I tell you, if I was pastoring around here, I said, because you know why? You're not pastoring around there. You don't know the circumstances. You don't know what that pastor's dealing with. You don't know who he's working with. You don't know what's happening in that congregation. So don't try to pastor them. Just try to preach to them what God gives you. Amen. Amen. Number two, not only were to examine, but then he said there's to be some exclusion. He said he can rejoice in himself alone. How can that be? Two things. He can rejoice. Rejoicing comes when he don't need the approval of others. He don't need the likes. He don't need the applause of others. He just preaches. You know what? Sometimes people like what you say, and sometimes they don't. I had a fellow tell me, and it's a church that I had preached in before, and I haven't been there in a while, and I don't know if it was the pastor, but this member of that church said, I'm not going to tell you who it was, but someone said, Brother Bobby, when he preaches, he upsets the people. I thought when you preach, you're supposed to preach God's word. You know what? It ought to convict us. It ought to deal with it. It ought to draw us, amen. They haven't had me for a while because I upset the people. Where did God's people get upset? Not be satisfied where we are. We ought to always be wanting to be closer. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. There is an exclusion. Then can I say, number three, there's an expectation. He said, bear your own burden. Now that word burden there is a different Greek word than verse 2. Here in verse 5, it means a task or a service. Here's what he's saying. You need to be minding your own business. That's basically what he's trying to say. Number one, cultivate your own work, your own ministry. Brother Danny, you know one thing that I appreciate about you, there's several, but the fact that when you teach Sunday school, you can tell you put your heart in it. You're cultivating your work. What God called you to do to help. Amen. Singers, do your best. Give it your best. Thank God, cultivate what God gave you. Man, I go to a lot of small churches and they don't have anybody to sing. And they said, Brother Barnes, you sing special? I said, man, if I did, it'd be special, all right, amen. I don't have that kind of ability. But if God's given you that ability, I've been in services where the preacher said, hey, sister so-and-so, how about you sing for it? I don't feel like it. God help you. What do you mean you don't feel like it? It's one thing if your voice is shot, but it's another thing if God gave you a talent and you're sitting there in the pew and the man of God asked you to get up there. You ought to get up there with joy in your soul and say hallelujah for a privilege to serve the God of heaven. What a privilege that we get to do anything for him. Amen. I say hallelujah. It's an honor to do anything for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I tell you, what a privilege. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. What a privilege. I'm just glad that he gives me an opportunity to do something for him. Hallelujah. Oh yes, amen. I say hallelujah. Glory to God. What a privilege to serve. What a privilege to serve. Amen. Hallelujah. What a privilege to serve. Amen. Not only to cultivate, but our conduct is to be holy, to live a life, and I'm out of breath, to live a life that's guided by the word of God. I'd rather get out of breath at a jubilee than a football game any day. Amen. Hallelujah. We ought to be concerned with our service and no one else's. You know, there's some men in our day, they want to tell you where you can and can't go. Now, I may get quiet here, but that's all right. Can I say two things about that? Number one, if you're not their pastor, it's none of your business where they go. That is my pastor, Brother Ricky Gravely. If he honestly come to me and said, Brother Bobby, I know something about that situation, you don't need to go there. Brother Jeff, you know what I'd be doing in the next 10 minutes? I'd be calling, canceling that meeting, because that's the man of God. And if he knows a situation that would hinder me, he would try to help me. But if you're not my pastor, then it don't matter. Because here's what's funny. There are men, Brother Chris, they don't have me, they don't support me, but they worry about where I go. Can I say it's none of your business where I go? It's God's business. Amen. I try to honor the Holy Ghost. I'm not going to go to non-denominational, and I'll throw it in right here. I don't preach for devil-married men. Thank God I don't do it. I'm not going. If I ever preach for one, it'd be by accident and me not knowing. I'm telling you, but we're living in a day. They want to tell you what you can and can't do. Amen. Amen. Now, if you know somewhere I'm going and it's a mess and there's a double, let me know. I'll cancel a meeting. You know what you're supposed to do? Bear your own burden. You know what? If I was concerned about everybody's, I wouldn't go anywhere. Because they'd say, Brother Brad, I wouldn't go over there, man. There's some people out there doing something. Man, I wouldn't go over here because of that fella. Man, he's got a few of my people. I wouldn't go over there. I'm telling you, I'd stay at the house. I can't control what goes on in congregation, but I tell you what I can do. I can preach the same everywhere I go, whether they like it or not. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I preached for a fellow who's independent. He took Southern Baptist Church. He wanted to try to pull it out. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go help him. If you don't like that, I can't help him. Well, a fellow called me. He said, I remember you saying you'd never go to a Southern Baptist Church. I said, I did. I said, I was taught that way. I said, but if a man wants some help, I'm going to try to help him. I said, but I'll tell you what to do. You come Monday night. And I'll preach Monday night at the same church you saw over there at Central Baptist. I'll preach the same way. And you know what happened? Oh, my. He came Monday night, and I didn't know he was going to be there. And guess what? I blew out garbage music and contemporary music. And he done changed his music to contemporary. And guess what? He ain't never come to hear me since. Oh, you know what he found out? I wasn't going to change my message. That crowd's worried about you changing the message. Maybe they just need to follow me around a little bit. Amen. I don't know where all that come from. You know, it's amazing that nobody has to answer to you. We got to answer to God. I do answer to my pastor. I do. You answer to your pastor, but you won't have to stand before these other men that try to dictate. Well, you know, I wouldn't go over there. And a lot of times, Brother Paul, it's because they have personally something against them. So they don't want me to go because they have personally something against them. Well, I can't control all of that. I'm going to bear my own burden. God called me to preach. I promise you one thing. Brother Lamar, I'm so sure about my call to preach as much as I am about my salvation. I didn't want to preach about Danny. I know it don't look like it. I said this the other day to church, and they laughed at me. I said, man, I couldn't stand before people. I'd get scared to death, and they thought that was funny. But I'm telling you, I did. And when God started dealing with me, I said, Lord, you know I can't do that. He said, no, you can't, but I can, and I'll help you if you will. I said, I can't do that. I'm telling you, I didn't listen. I didn't volunteer. I was drafted, praise God. I got a call from another world that put me in the middle. Ministry. And you know what? I've got to answer to him. Amen. I'm going to bear my own burden. Bear your own burden. Amen. I'm not against people having Facebook. I don't have it. My wife does. But you know, they tell me about how people get on there and start feuding with each other. That's all nonsense. Just bear your own burden. Just take care of yourself. The old country boy said, just take care of your own tater patch. Amen?
Yeah.
Yeah, just take care of your own.
That's right.
Are you bearing your burden? Or are you trying to bear everybody else's? Have you really forgiven that individual that hurt you? That maybe even, I mean, really hurt you. You got to forgive them. Because you and I can be overtaken in a fault any day of the week. Thank you, preacher.